Welcome to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. I'm your host, Megan Nash, and this is the podcast where I call up friends and we talk about touring and we talk about snacks and anything else that may just come to mind. Okay, today's guest is John Dale from Johnny Two Fingers and the Deformities. John Dale and I, well, we've been friends for 13 years, but I couldn't get him to admit that on this episode. I tried. He is the self-proclaimed, undisputed, universal heavyweight champion of rock and roll. He's the founder, guitarist, and driving force behind Johnny Two Fingers and the Deformities, and he is also the manager of professional wrestler, bandmate, heavyweight champion, Cannonball Kelly. This episode has got everything for you, folks. It's got dead air. It's got inside jokes. It's got a lot of rambling about things that we don't really know what we're talking about, but I hope you have fun listening to it because I like to think that we had fun having this conversation. But I couldn't get John Dale to admit that either. Okay, today's guest is John Dale from Johnny Two Fingers and the Deformities.
I'm a pioneer as well. But we'll discuss that more in detail.
You're a professional and a pioneer.
No, well, it's obvious I'm a professional. It's not apparent to the enlightened. The unenlightened? Is that a word?
I don't know, John Dale. You know what? There's been so many signs from the universe that we weren't supposed to make this podcast happen. You know? We tried recording one a few months ago. And I made notes of how many times you swore, and it was like over 100 times in about an hour-long conversation. Just kidding. I feel like it was close to 50, though. And I thought, you know what? That's a lot of editing. Let's just do this again. But then even today, I tried calling you, and you didn't answer. And so then
I was preparing myself.
Okay, and then I thought, well, I'm going to make some bread. So then I had to activate the yeast. And that takes about 10 minutes. And then I had to add 6 cups of flour. And then I had to, you know, knead it. And then I had to wash the bowl. And then I had to oil the bowl. And then I had to put the bread inside the bowl for it to rise. And then I realized I forgot to put the salt in the bread. So then I had to punch it out again. And then I sprinkled the salt on top. And I don't know if that's going to work. But then, and then I got a hold of you again.
Yep.
Okay, well, you know what? I was planning on not wanting to edit this conversation, but so far this is not going. This hasn't been going too well. You know, we have everything.
Yeah.
We have everything you're not supposed to have. We're talking over each other. There's dead air. I was really hoping that Junie would be able to be a guest on this too.
Yeah, everybody likes my co-stars instead of me the most.
How old is Junie?
Even my bandmates hate me. What?
How old is Junie now?
She's 3. She's 3.
I just,
3 and a half.
Every time she says, "We are the champions," it makes me so happy. It's the cutest sound I've ever heard.
Well, it's the truth.
And I love it so much.
I track success, and anyone who hangs out with me is pretty much by proxy a champion.
So did you teach her that? Were you like, "Junie, here's your catchphrase. Say it all the time. It will be really cute and funny." Or did she just
catchphrase?
Like,
I don't think there's any catchphrases. She just recognizes who her father is and recognizes who she is a daughter of. So by proxy, logically, she is a champion such as myself. Kelly, Cannonball Kelly, of course.
Yes, of course. The other day when we were FaceTiming, she was wearing her like a little house coat. And it looked like a what do you call a house coat when you're a wrestling person? What are those house coats called?
I guess it'd be your robe.
Oh, your
it?
Robe. Yeah, right. So she was wearing this robe and she was like, I am a champion. It was just so cute. I just love that so much.
Yeah, she kind of reminded me of like Ric Flair, Charlotte Flair, whatever. He had a big old cool robe like that. It did. Actually, a real story, though, when she got that thing, she thought she was like my ma. Anyway, go on.
She thought what?
That was nothing. She was like, oh, I'm like Grandma Shelley, because she's so used to seeing Grandma Shelley in her house coat.
Oh,
and she sleeps over.
Aww. Yeah. I just, you know, it makes me wonder if I ever have kids, If I ever have a child, what their catchphrase would be, or what? Sorry, you don't like the word catchphrase. What they would say all the time, like what they would pick up from me.
It's not a catchphrase. It's just something she says. Just something you recognize. You never know. See, your kid probably would have catchphrases.
Yeah, my kid would probably be like, I don't know. I don't know if this is safe. Are you sure we should be doing this? Or something just feels wrong, but I can't really put my finger on it. That's probably what my toddler would say. I just have a strange feeling about this. I don't know. Yeah. Do you find that, like, becoming a dad, being a dad, has impacted, like, your songwriting?
I'd say if you're writing about your life, or I guess it impacted my life, so it impacted my songwriting in multi-facets, you know, like the amount of privacy I've had has been changed. But, and I used to do a lot of that in privacy, but sometimes it just, you know, you just, that's just because of how it was before. But I always find time to be, to be fair, she'll be right beside me and we can be doing our own thing. She'll be playing with whatever and I'll be playing with whatever and we'll be side by side and don't matter. Aww. But sometimes we play together and sometimes we play side by side. It's figure it out.
That's so sweet. That's so sweet. Yeah. I was listening to your record before I got on the phone with you, and I was listening a song that I was kind of curious about, and I don't know if you want to expand on it anymore, but the song Bad Guy, I think it's kind of interesting, and I just wanted to ask you, like, what are you wrestling with in that one? Do you like that I asked you that question like that? Sorry.
You're so punny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that song was, I remember writing some of those words when I was at one of my jobs in an office, and just so, like, I basically just felt so, I was getting really mad and just didn't like the type of person I was acting. Very upset, but getting angry and crying and always wanting to be alone, blaming everybody else. It's all there, you know, and then end up me being, it's like, after all that, it was really me being the monster, you know? So.
I think it probably takes a certain level of self-awareness to write a song like that. But I also it's kind of interesting, because I don't know, like, for me to hear you sing that song, because I actually don't, this might come as a surprise to you, John Dale, but I actually don't think you're a bad guy.
Well, I kind of think of a few people who think otherwise. But, you know, thank you very much, Megan Nash.
I
don't know.
I just think you are a person that tries to be good, you know, and try to do good.
Do or
do
not, there is no try, you know.
dear John Dale, you are one of the few people I know that used to give Thunder Bay a lot of love. Like, I feel like a lot of bands, when they were traveling across Canada, would either go under the Great Lakes to cut off some travel time, whereas you, I feel like you had something good going on in Thunder Bay. And I've never performed in Thunder Bay. Maybe this is coming from a place of a little bit of, maybe I'm a bit envious. You know, that's a place I've never played, and you've played it a bunch, and it just seemed like you really nurtured that spot.
Yes. Envious is a strong word. I've had other people tell me I'm insane for doing such things. And perhaps we don't cross through the States simply because, well, some of us can't. But that's besides the point. That's neither here nor there. Yes. But the reason why, there's no reason why we love to do it. Maybe we're just lazy and we don't get our passports, but the byproduct of traveling through Thunder Bay, it's one of the only places where you can play, because if you're unfamiliar with the geography, there isn't much besides rocks and trees and rocks and trees, and then a lake every once in a while. It goes on and on forever on a winding road where you have to slow down and everything's. You're certainly, when you finally get to Thunder Bay, it's like a big city for the area, and as well as big city from where I'm from anyway. There's a lot of young people too. And the place we play is the Apollo. There's a woman who owns it, Sheila. She's Sheila Rock, and she's just a gem, and she treats us like she's got a lot of Greek heritage in her and stuff, and she likes to treat people like they're from, you know, from there, and with a lot of camaraderie. Her mother lives with her elderly mother lives with her, Tina, who's an absolute legend, and their bartender Alex, their right hand man, and they run that thing, and if you get the, she loves music and she's always there. She doesn't take anything. She just gives us, food. She gives a place to sleep. She gives people, she makes sure people pay, you know, and people respect her, you know. It's a cool, like her patrons respect her, you know. There's no security. There's a lot of drunks and stuff. A lot of times people get unruly in places like that, but not in this place. Well, nothing too insane anyways that I've been a part of. Yeah. I'm probably the rowdiest guy there.
Yeah. And I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe envious was the wrong word, but you know what? It's hard when you have a lot of feelings and you don't know the words for them. You know, that's my biggest problem.
I guess it just depends who you're talking to, whether you want to be envious of going to Thunder Bay. Some people live there and just think it's a cesspool. And I've actually had a lot of gigs that were kind of miserable. It can be a rough, tough kind of place. But then we play there so many times because you go there and back there because you have to go through it. And Sheila lets us. Basically, it's just an opportunity. She'd probably let us. Actually, I know she'd let us stay without playing, but. You know, an opportunity to play is another opportunity to put the old t-shirts out there and put a little more, a little bit of funds into the old bank account.
And, you know, I guess I just love playing. I just want to play. I just miss playing shows so much. And I just really want to play every part of Canada that I can, you know, I can just go wherever. I want to play wherever. I just want to do that. I haven't been to Newfoundland and Labrador. I haven't been out there. I haven't played in the Yukon. I haven't played in Nunavut. I'm just like, there's all these places that it's like I haven't played in Thunder Bay. And when we're allowed to, I just want to go. I just want to go and I want to play everywhere. What's the biggest part of touring that you miss? Do you miss touring? Not everyone misses touring, I'm discovering, but
yeah,
I miss it a
lot. I understand why some people don't, but I am kind of built. I kind of think in a lot of ways I really benefit from it. I really love it. The playing, the performing is like something that's like I love, but I mean, it does not necessarily need to travel to perform. You know, you could perform anywhere, in any facet, you know. But there's something on top of the traveling that adds a next level, because people can't handle being in a van for 8 hours or longer through a blizzard in, you know, on the Rocky Mountains.
No,
that's kind of, you know, like that's not all, not everybody thinks that's a good idea. And you know what, really it's not, but people do travel and people do die, but a lot of them survive, you know. It's just a gamble. Why do we do it? It's kind of dangerous. It's reckless. You have a way better chance of dying in a car than you do dying in this comfy chair in my basement right now. But there's something that's pushing me, and I couldn't, like, there's something like performing for all the different people, yeah, and sharing what you created, that's great too, and you get to bond over that, blah, blah, blah. But there's something else that I realize, like, I think about the people, the friends that I've met, and it kind of just draws me back. It's like, I've found myself lately, because I've been we've all been isolated, and it's against human nature to be isolated. We're social creatures, and I miss my friends, basically. So I've been kind of forcing myself to put my video game controller down and pick up my phone and Skype or a FaceTime, you know, video conference, call my friends, see their faces, people that I only saw and I never phoned before. But it's like, I miss your face. I miss, because I used to see every few months, every 6 months, you know, and it's like a family of weird, like, because there's, people who travel attract certain people too, because they're open to, I shouldn't generalize, but often if they enjoy it anyways, they're open to new experiences and they're looking for new things. They're open to meet new people and they're open to, and change themselves and grow. So, that's what's so cool about it. It's challenging. It's some ways it's like you're rebranding yourself. This is the touring Johnny, they don't see this is the bored, depressed Johnny working too much, or he's locked in his basement for too long, this is the, I'm living on the road and I'm off of how much sleep on caffeine and potatoes, holy moly.
John Dale, who's locking you in your basement? Are you in your basement right now? Is this actually a call for help? Are you okay?
call 911.
No. I don't know if I want to put you whispering call 911 out on the airwaves. Like, is that safe?
That's safe.
Oh, okay. Oh, it is safe. Okay. No, but everything you were just saying, I can relate to so much, because I was thinking about this the other day and I was talking to my partner about it. I miss meeting strangers and becoming friends with them, like, just super fast, like at warp speed. Like, there's something about, like, when you are traveling and when you're touring, especially if you're stuck in a van with somebody, how you just, it like accelerates your friendship bonding time. And I was thinking, there was this one time when I was performing in, I think it was maybe Munich, Germany. And I told the audience that I had a swimsuit in my guitar case, which at the time was true. I kind of used it to as padding. It was a swimsuit because I never wanted to get caught without a swimsuit. Because I didn't want to, in case I actually got to stay in a hotel and there's a pool or something. So I told the band that, or like I told the audience this, and the band that did the opening set, they were like, okay, Megan, like after the show, they're like, okay, pack up, let's go. We're taking you swimming. And it was like, it was midnight. And there's a lake outside, right outside of Munich. And like I went in their van and we drove and we went swimming in the middle of the night. And it was just like one of those experiences that was just, and actually, what ended up happening too is like I was planning on staying at their place the whole time anyways, like they were putting me up too, which is just like, I also miss that. I miss just like meeting people, staying at their place, hoping that you're all gonna get along and that you're kindred spirits, and usually it would work out like that. And then just becoming friends. And like the morning we were talking about life, and actually, the person I was staying with, he was also going through a divorce. He also had a short marriage. He also recorded his grandmother telling a story, and then she passed away. Like, we had all these things that were this in common, and it was really thinking about that now, it almost sounds like it sounds made up. It sounds like, how could you have those kind of similarities? But touring for me and those shows and live shows was that thing that reminded that reminder of, like, I really do believe as human beings, we have more things in common than we have things that divide us. And those kind of moments just like gave me faith in humankind,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause it's, So lots of think of a few stories. When you witness and experience serendipitous things in your life, it's such a wild experience. And especially when you're doing things and you're happy and you're doing it and you experience more serendipitous things, it's like, wow, this is like, life can be pretty sweet. Because I've had it the other way, where it's not so serendipitous and it's like you're banging your head or you're spinning your tires, you ain't going nowhere. So when you feel in, like, when you're in the right place at the right time, or even if it's not going exactly, but sometime, but ultimately when things like that click and it's like, it feels so good. It just, and you experience, it's happening all the time. It probably happens, but there's just something so zany about how weird it can be, like when you're out and like a random thing happens and like, we played with the May Hemingways in Thunder Bay and we were exactly the same, we were on the same, like we were last, it was like we were just ending our tours and we were exactly the same amount of kilometers away from our homes. And then our, both the guitar players were cancers and both the drummers were, whatever the Virgos, whatever Kelly. Yeah. And it was just as we, there was a lot of like, and it doesn't even, there's just, there was so many uncanny, like, it was like 4,623. Like, there's not just a, like five. It's like a big weird number. And we're right in the middle and we're doing the same thing on the same day of our tour. It was about to end and we're, it was just wide and we're crossing. And why do you run into some people in the middle of no, like, I don't know. It's just.
And you're both friends just, with my dad.
Yeah. That's scary, right?
That's another similarity you have with the May Hemingways. I love the May Hemingways. Like talking, like, if we're talking about good people, there you go.
Who tour can't? Who like to tour?
Yeah, yeah, they really do. They really do. And they, you know what? I've been to some of their shows where it's like they always, regardless of how many people are there, they're just like one of those class acts that we all should aspire to be. You know, regardless of how many people are there, they give it all every time. You know?
Oh yeah.
And it's just, yeah, they're just so great. They're just so great. When you can go out on the road again, do you plan on doing anything differently, or was the way that you were touring before just the way you want to keep on trucking?
I'd like to. What I'm aspiring to do is get a really good type of promo type of package and have some sort of videos like that I can release in succession and advertising type of things where I could try to deliver it into Facebook market. I'm basically blah blah without getting like boring any of everybody with details and be trying to tell people that we're coming before we get there so more people aren't like, oh, I didn't hear about you. I'd rather play in places where, you know, their main priority isn't selling stimulants to people, alcohol, to work, you know, to get them to, you know, like do what you have to do. But I mean, it's built on the backs of addiction. If it isn't, alcohol is gambling. That's what we're kind of, so it kind of gets on your nerves when you're living in a bar and you don't even really like, I've given her before, but I don't like, I've given her enough to know that giving her any noise. And giving her ain't always what it's all cracked out to be, if you know what I'm saying.
Giving her ain't always what it's cracked up to be. That's the quote.
Yeah.
John Dale from Johnny Two Fingers and the Deformities. That's it. That's the promo quote we're going to use for this. You know, this is probably the longest time in my adult life that I've ever not, like, that I haven't been in a bar for almost a year now. And that's, and it's not saying, I don't mean it in a way that I was like always going out drinking. I mean, like you're right.
Yeah.
We're always just working in bars.
In bars. It'd be nice to play in halls or auditoriums or whatever, like more they're places for shows that like a place like the Exchange where they're not open all the time. They may sell like a theater, like the Mae Wilson. I'm just using local examples off the top of my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not. They're there for theater. They're there for a performance. They're there for music.
Yeah.
They're there for a show. They're not there to get drunk and then, oh, look, there's a show. I don't. I like those playing. Actually, a lot of those. They like to give let loose. You know, festivals are even better. Like, whew. Maniacs have some of those things. They like to get, depending where you're playing and what time you're playing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the type of music you play kind of can stimulate in a different way, too. You know, if you play energetic music, sometimes they like to get a little energetic. And sometimes we like to play a little bit of energetic music. Sometimes they get a little wild. And that's what we like to see. We like to have a good time and get excited once in a while and enjoy things.
I feel like I feel like sometimes when you start talking about playing rock and roll, you start to get like your manager voice. Maybe we should talk a little bit about that, how you're Cannonball Kelly's manager. But you know what? We actually need to take a short little break and we'll be right back with more Pep and Ched with Megan Nash. How much do you hate hearing me say that? John Dale, like saying my own name, like speaking in third person. Does that bother you? Hello? He's gone.
I'm laughing. I just can't. No, I love it. Go, you're doing great. You're doing great. You're like a legit DJ now.
Woo!
Or whatever.
Hey friends, you're listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, and today's guest is John Dale from Johnny Two Fingers and the Deformities. All right, John Dale, I'm curious how wrestling has influenced your music. It's definitely influenced the marketing of your music, it seems. Do you want to? Oh, you don't like that word.
I just want everybody to understand one thing and make one thing perfectly clear.
Here we go.
Johnny Two Fingers and the Deformities are the ultimate, undisputed, universal heavyweight champions of rock and roll. It came to me in a dream one day when I realized, when I looked at my right-hand man, confidant, drummer, and client, and best friend, Cannonball Kelly. Man, this guy, he's dripping with championship belts. He's the ringside wrestling heavyweight champion and international tag team champion. It's just a no-brainer. He's a wrestler. I'm a rock and roller. I not only manage him, he drums for me. We play music. We do the wrestling. We are the greatest wrestle rock band of all time. Sure, there are other bands that claim they're a wrestle rock band, like that band in Saskatoon, Off the Top Rope. Well, I'll tell you one thing. They don't have a championship belt, and they don't play guitar like Johnny Two Fingers. And if anyone's got a problem with that, we take on any challenger, anytime, anywhere. So if you want to meet us on stage or in the ring, it can happen. But I'll tell you this much, it's going to be on our terms. And that's all I got to say about that. So do you have any more questions about how we like to do things around here?
You know, my favorite part of that is I really hope someone tuned in to this program right in the midst of that, and because it's probably this show. Thank you.
Very educational.
It is very educational. Not only is this show, this is a podcast, but thanks to our friends at CJTR for airing it on Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. So around 9:38 roughly, someone's hearing all that.
You're welcome.
You know, that's another thing that I'm putting on my once it's safe to do so, I'm going to do this list is I really want to I do like attending wrestling events. And I've been practicing, when I was able to hang out with people, I was practicing like a jumping slap chop kind of move. And I really want to put that to work one of these days.
Oh, well, you better start working on your biceps and triceps there, lady, because
I think
some of the people that I'd hang out with would eat you alive.
Well, you know what? I
think the maneuver you're referring to is the knife edge chop.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the words for a lot of things, but you know what? I have a lot of passion.
Listen, lady, I don't think you could tell the difference between a wrist lock and a wrist watch.
Well, one's a watch that tells time.
Yeah.
And I think it's about time that that you tell us about your time at Ness Creek. How's that for a little
That's
segue.
An all right segue, I guess. Not everybody likes to be challenged, and I'll appreciate that. And I've had many memorable times at Ness Creek. Some of the wildest shows, some of the most energetic crowds. Perhaps they were seeping with certain mind-altering chemicals, and we've all been there, haven't we? We've all had enlightening trips there, and I can say for myself, I've met some great people, played some great shows, crawling up on top of PA system to do a guitar solo while it was kind of all rainy and stuff. That was reckless and fun. Something you don't get to do every day, you know?
No, we don't get to do much that's reckless and fun these days. But when we can, again, that's something.
Take advantage of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know what you got. Just got.
For those that don't know, Ness Creek Festival, it's a festival that happens in, well, I guess, is it like central north, like at the edge of the boreal forest, I think, right? Like around Big River.
How ignorant of me. I kind of talk as if it's common knowledge, but yeah, it's up in northern Saskatchewan, in the, what, how you say it? the boreal forest?
Yeah, I believe so.
Lots of trees.
Yeah.
It's in bear country too, so you actually have to be bear aware, and there's camping. You could call it a hippie fest, if you will. And there's a place for the kids to run around, and everyone's really open about their, you know, psychedelics, if you will. And, you know, if you're into that type of thing, that can be a lot of fun. And if you're not, if you're into camping, it's into that. And if you're into arts and crafts, there's that. If you're into some sort of spiritual type of meditation, there's also that type of thing. And it's all inclusive, all fun, all ages. And, fun for the whole family. Come on down. It's happening in July. make sure you check out Johnny Two Fingers on the main stage, because we were bound to play, and we'll be playing next year if this is, if we're ready to go next year.
We'll be playing. We were booked to play in
2020.
Same. Oh,
it was our
main stage
debut.
Oh,
we played on the after hours stage, closing 3 o'clock in the morning, going on at 2:30 in the morning. I think we ended up going until seeming we're the last band, and everybody seemed like they wanted one more. We kind of played a few more and played till the sun comes up. We did that both nights. We played there 2 years, and they were both cool for that, you know.
Yeah, that's
so cool playing, you know, because everyone's so wild too, you know. They're all stimulated, and they want to see a show. So we like to put on a show. So it's all a very beneficial for everybody. Copacetic, or is that where, is that how that explains that?
You know,
cyclical.
Those after hour stage sets are very special. Like, there is a certain energy to them, and I performed at Ness Creek a few times, and one time with a band, like with a different project, and we played that after hour set and a stage. And I remember I had my space kitty there. Remember, like my big ceramic cat?
Yeah.
And I,
how could I forget?
And I passed him around the audience, and like I just remember that somebody got up on stage with me and was like holding space kitty as like as a baby on stage. And then I threw my at the time in this project I used to wear a unicorn hat, and I threw it out into the crowd, and it was gone for hours. And then finally around 5 a.m. I was still walking around Ness Creek, and it came back to me, and I knew it was truly mine.
Well, it's probably because they were worried about, you know, head lice, but that's cool. I'm glad you got it back.
I've actually, you know what? I have never had head lice.
Congratulations.
I'm saying that because I can't.
Why don't you just brag about it to everybody?
I know, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It doesn't make sense to me. But anyways, what was like the longest? Have you done any?
Maybe you'll get bed bugs.
No, please don't say that.
What an
no.
awful thing. Okay, no,
I was
go
just
ahead.
Gonna,
I'm
you know
sorry.
What? This is actually the first time bed bugs have come up in any of my conversations I've had about touring, and I just really dislike that at all. I hate the idea of having bed
real,
bugs.
To be real, like my two biggest fears of catching something would be one, cancer, or two, bed bugs, because like we got both. Hard to get rid of either of those things.
So when you're touring, then if you're staying in a hotel, do you do a little song and dance, like check things before you bring in all your luggage, or do you just go for it when you're staying at a hotel, motel, wherever you are while touring?
Hotel, motel. Ugh, we don't really
please
do
don't
hotel,
sing
motel.
Anything. Please don't sing anything, because I don't know about copyright. Okay, I don't know how any of that stuff works.
Yep.
So,
I don't want who sings
that
song. I'm not even really thinking about that. Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
we're going into the hotel motels. We don't really even stay in a lot of those. But even just any of the random places we stay, I don't know. Like, I don't know. You can't really. I don't know. You do what you gotta do. I don't know. I kind of looked, but you keep your stuff off the ground. I don't take much. Keep everything locked up. I don't know. You just, wouldn't that be awful bringing them back?
Oh, yeah.
Just, I don't know. Another risk. I know.
No.
I guess you could What is it going to be? What's going to take you out?
Have you ever had had to deal with theft while touring?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, was one was at like the end of a long tour. We were all on one of our, I think it was actually our longest tour. It was about 38 days. It was almost 40. And we were in Vancouver. It was near the end of it. We had about 5 days left or something. And I remember someone was going to go out into the van for a smoke. And they're like, they came running back like, the van got broken into. And then the other two, we woke up early. We're like, oh, God. And it was just like, oh, we were so, it was Vancouver. And it was a busy street. But we kind of just turned off the onto the side one. And that's all it took. And they did a smash and grab. And luckily, they took just one of Cannonball Kelly's dirty laundry bags, and so, and then one of our bass player Travis's backpack with his, unfortunately, his laptop.
Oh.
But that was the most, like, that was, there was all of our guitars, all of, I know fans, horror stories of everything getting loaded and unloaded, you know, like, oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine my first guitar that I ever got, like, so much gear, like, I could never really, I don't, like, besides, like, it's kind of one-of-a-kind type of stuff, like, those stories just make me, like, there's another, like, you know, you don't lose it if, well, you, you know, if you're, you know, that's another risk, that's just another crazy risk.
Yeah,
but anyways, yeah, you know, maybe after I'm done this podcast, I'll have, you're going to scare me off the road, Nash.
Well, that's
you
really...
would, what kind of disservice you would do to the world? How dare you?
Well, you know, that was actually my goal.
Who put you up to this?
I can't disclose that.
Joey Vendetta?
No, I can't disclose that.
Barack Obama?
No, I can't disclose that on public platform.
Yeah, I know. There's someone listening for sure.
Oh, there are definitely
keep talking.
There are definitely tens of people listening to this right now. So, I've only had one incident. Knock on wood, with theft, and that was like, oh, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago now, and it was in Calgary, and I went to go get the van and pull up the van to the gig to load out and get going, and I walked up to the van and the side window, the passenger window, was all smashed out, and I was with Nick Davies. He's a really great musician, great producer too, and he was drumming for that project, just like a fill-in for a sub for that little tour. And I was just like, Nick, what do I do, man? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, what do we do? He's like, I don't know. Like, we were both kind of freaking out. And it was wintertime too. And they smashed the window. And we had to put plastic on the window. And we finished the tour with the plastic on the window. I think we only had one more date left. But it was wintertime. But they mainly just took... See, here's the thing. We had change in the console, and that's what the people took. And they didn't take any. I think we had a spare amp in the back. They didn't take any gear. They didn't take our bags or anything. They just took that spare change. So let that be a lesson to everybody. Don't have. Everyone is probably rolling their eyes right now and knows this. Like, you don't have change in your car where people can see it. But you know, this little country bumpkin here did so. There you go. But just don't make the same mistakes I do. If you had a piece of advice to give somebody who wants to tour, what would it be?
Don't.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. No, 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 no. I'm just kidding. No, one piece of advice going on tour. Oof. You got to be maybe touring with us, you got to be kind of sporadic and you got to go with the flow, because there's been times when I did not know where we were going to stay.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know. You got to be able to improvise, because things don't always go to plan. You can plan as much as you want, but something's not going to – your car's going to – you know. But to fail to plan is also to plan to fail. So there's a – did I say that right? But you got to have some sort of plan. You got to have some sort of structure. But you also got to be able to roll with it if it all goes to heck in a handbasket.
Yeah, I think there is a, I think regardless of where you're at, if you're doing your own booking, if you're working with an agent, if you're finding your own places to stay, if somebody else is finding places for you to stay, I do feel like there always has to be this like go with the flow element to it. Otherwise, you will just have a terrible time, you know?
It'll be too stressful.
Yeah.
'Cause it's kind of chaotic. And another thing too, when you were talking about like being robbed and stolen from, owners, bar owners, and people who owe you money, make sure you ask them for your money, because it's really easy for them just to not give it to you unless you ask. And then they'll even, and then even you can keep asking and maybe they'll never get you, but you won't get it unless you ask. And don't be afraid of asking what you think you're worth, and even more than what you think you're worth, because you ain't going to get it unless you ask. Because yeah, they'll eat you alive, and they'll take advantage of everything. They'll take advantage of whatever you give them for free. You're probably never going to get any more unless you're on, you know, MTV, if they play music anymore.
I was going to say that seemed very 1996 of you to say MTV for music.
I'm an older guy. You could say I'm mature.
Well, I think you are mature, and I think I'm mature too, because we like to talk on the phone.
Agree to disagree.
I was just going to say, just because I think we both like to talk on the phone. Like, you are one of the few friends that I've actually like will like we talk on the phone during this pandemic, because I feel like I have a lot of friends that I just like.
I'll never admit to that online. Carry on.
Yeah, like I think John Dale and I are friends, and we talk sometimes on the phone. Is that true, John Dale? Yeah.
That's a stretch.
But I feel like I've
been known to talk on the phone, though. It is a wonderful thing.
Okay. You know.
A lot of things get lost in text, and a lot of things.
Exactly. Yeah.
And a lot of misunderstanding comes from that. Facebook, Twitter, all those things. The written word puts a lot of handcuffs on you, let alone the spoken word. Sometimes it's some emotion, something you can feel. Sometimes something unsaid can speak as much as something said, but you can't write nothing. So it's hard to write a feeling.
And that is why emojis are so important. That's what
spoken
you're trying
like
to say.
Like a true millennial.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny too, to take this time, like, to catch up with friends through a podcast format too, because I feel like a lot of people that I know that I'm friends with, like for me, I feel like if I'm going to talk to you about my feelings and how I feel about tour and how I feel about, well, anything really, that's not really my way to work those out things out. Like, I don't want to talk about this stuff. I usually just like will write a song about it instead. So maybe that's why sometimes I don't have the right words for things, because I need to just like sit down and think about it for 2 to 3 days and then come back with an answer, you know? Like, I'm gonna probably listen back to this conversation and think, oh, I should have replied like this to John Dale. Oh well, I don't know, it's been intimidating to try to do a podcast.
Yeah, this day and age, everyone's listening, and a lot of critical people too, so you gotta watch your mouth. So
yeah,
and everyone, and there's a lot of pressure, and you got to make it entertaining on top of that. I understand that you want to give the people what they want, you know. You gotta, I don't know what they want.
I don't know either. So go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, I feel like this podcast is A, discouraging people from touring ever again, and B, discouraging me from continuing doing this podcast. Like, that's the
really?
This has been more negative than I intended, John Dale. I thought we were gonna laugh. I thought we were gonna talk about reminisce about old days, about how we met for the first time at when I was in a country cover band in Moss Bank. I thought we were gonna talk about that.
I thought that would be more negative. That's negative talk right there.
Why? Because I was playing a washboard. We don't need bring that up because I don't want, you know, if any of the good folks that I was working with in that project are listening, I don't want them to get their feelings hurt if you say something negative, John Dale. Also, I want to say to the good folks in Thunder Bay, please book me. I want to come play your city. And my everything John Dale says does not reflect me or this podcast. I should have said that at the very start. That should have been the intro.
I've been a glowing beacon of positivity. I attract positivity and success. Why do you think that me and my client have two belts while you have none?
You know what?
That is a statistical proof. You could put that in the bank.
No one can dispute that.
I bet that's on my Wikipedia page. And if there isn't a Wikipedia page about that, there should be one.
I'm
asking everybody out there on TV land to make me a Wikipedia page before I have to do it.
I bought a belt.
I'm only one man.
I bought a belt from American Apparel like a year ago, and that's not an ad. It's leopard print. And it holds up my pants.
Championship belt. Yeah, well, that's, you know, the whole thing is, like, these championship belts, they don't hold up nobody's pants. They're all nobody. Everyone's wearing tights. Nobody needs to hold their pants up.
Okay, John Dale, there's going to be so many great sound bites for this. Thank you so much. I was wondering,
you're welcome.
If we could, you know, this is a podcast about touring. It is a podcast about snacks, and I want to know when you're in your van. You're touring in a minivan, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're in
a 2002 Toyota Sienna, an XL, the luxurious model.
Oh, what's the
license
plate
number?
It's
the nicest thing. It has heated seats. Carrying on.
Sorry, okay. So when you are heading down the highway in your Toyota, what are you snacking on? Why is that funny? This podcast is called Pep and Chen.
Yeah, well, I know. Hey. Well, can a person be happy once in a while? Can I laugh? I know it upset you when I'm happy, but come on. Anyways,
okay.
Come on. Let me explain myself. You're asking me a question. Let me answer. So you're asking me about snacks.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy a good snacks. And my regimented road diet. Unfortunately, we all know being on the road can be, how do you say? You have to pinch your – it can be economically – stressful, if you will. You must pinch your pennies, if you will. You must be extremely frugal, which some people call that cheap. I call it wise with money. So I find as many ways that I can keep food in my vehicle with the lowest amount of refrigeration. But, you know, if it's wintertime, you'll have to bring it in. But, you know, if you're traveling at the right time, you can just... You know, in springtime and fall,
yeah.
You know, that van ends up being like just a mini refrigerator.
Yes, yes.
So I like to keep things like, you know, vegetables and stuff, and potatoes have a lot of nutrients in them for what they can. And you know, and every gas station many gas stations will let you use their microwave, especially if you're buying gas from them. Why would they argue? They don't ever complain when I use their can or fill up my thing full of water. They give that for free. So same with their microwaves. Hot tip.
Okay.
Then you get your mic.
I was just wanting you to expand on the potato.
I was about to.
Oh, okay. Thank you
like
so
usual.
Much.
So anyways, you pull out your fork. You go bop, 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 bop. About three or four little jabs. I usually carry a little glass jar with me. You don't want to put plastic in the microwave. Seeps that chemical carcinogens out. You just want classic glass, tried, tested, and true Pyrex, even. Little name drop for you. Hopefully I get a sponsorship deal either from a spud factory or from the glass factory. Anyways, you put it in the microwave. There you go. You put it on, well, I don't know, 5-7 minutes. So it's nice and soft. Cut that open, a little salt and pepper, a little salsa, if you will.
Oh,
I don't know
that.
What kind of, a little nutritional yeast if you borderline on that old vegan lifestyle. But you need to get your vitamin B12. You can't live off this stuff. You need B12. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just educating the minds if you didn't know. So anyways, because you can't just keep your fish and stuff in the car. You have to have proper fish and meat. You don't want to keep raw stuff like that in a van. No. That would be stinky. go rotten, bad, bad, okay, mojo, wait, you don't want that.
You're trying to tour with raw fish? Is that what you're telling
I
me?
I would never. No, no, no. Oh, I would never do that. I'm okay. Not that foolish.
Okay.
I would never do that again.
Okay. Well, John Dale, this is we're ending on a stinky dead fish note.
Well, I wouldn't want it any other way.
Take care, buddy.
You too, Megan Nash.
Bye, John Dale.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another day, another conversation with a pal about touring. In this case, another conversation with someone who publicly won't admit has been my friend for over a decade. But, you know, I still enjoy this conversation. John Dale, thank you so much for being a guest. And I encourage you, dear listener, to check out his music at johnny2fingers.com. That's johnny2fingers.com. John Dale does put on a really excellent rock and roll show, and when it is safe to do so, I strongly encourage you to go check out one of his live sets, because he leaves it all on the stage, leaves it all on the bar. He goes up on the bar quite often. It's a good show. He's a good showman. Okay, you've been listening to Pep and Chet with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Creative City Center is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, the Saskatchewan Arts Board, now known as SaskArts, the City of Regina, and Creative Saskatchewan. This podcast is made possible because of the ongoing support of these agencies in spite of everything that's going on in this pandemic-fatigued world we live in. Special thank you to the Garys for the tunes. The Creative City Center is a community-based art center that used to present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are a home for a lot of online productions, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they are cooking up besides all this pep and ched with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. I also feel like I was going to go on the record and saying that John Dale is the undisputed universal heavyweight champion of rock and roll. I feel like I was going to say that in a public platform for him. So that's his birthday gift. All right. Bye-bye.